This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. My guests today are Adam Zand and Greg Peverill-Conti. They are the guys behind Libraryland, which is a project where they want to visit every library in the state of Massachusetts and lots more throughout the country. Circulating Ideas is brought to you with support from listeners just like you. Find out how you can help support the show by going to circulatingideas.com/support or patreon.com/circideas. All right, Greg and Adam, welcome to Circulating Ideas.
Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah, let's talk Libraryland. We're excited to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, so before you started Libraryland, and we'll talk a little bit more about what the project is and how you guys got started, but what was your experience with libraries before you started this project?
What age do you want to start at? You know, do
you,
want to...
you can go back to birth if you'd like.
Yeah, I was born.
I think I brought this up. Greg and I went down to Savannah, Georgia last year on a library road trip of sorts. And we went to one of the libraries of my youth that I used to go with my grandfather, the Bull Street branch, which is still there and been renovated. And it was really fun sort of remembering how important books and reading and telling people about great books my grandfather felt for him. And I think in some ways that rubbed off, and just being in that building kind of cemented it for me. So that's an early memory.
And, you know, for me, I come from a family of bibliophiles. And when we moved to New Hampshire when I was a kid, our home library was larger in terms of volumes than our town library. And certainly is larger than some of the libraries that Adam and I have visited. So books have always been central. Libraries have, you know, I used libraries really actively up until, you know, probably into my 20s, even with my kids. And then I had a little hiatus. And then Libraryland happened. And now it's just amazing.
So what made you kind of get started with the Libraryland project in the first place? And what is the project?
This all came about sort of by necessity. I think we told you off before we picked up that we're both PR people. We've worked for agencies, we've worked internally, and we had the opportunity about 2.5 years ago to start thinking about forming our own small PR agency.
And Sharp Orange.
Sharp Orange, right. Good branding. And the necessity came about, we had to meet somewhere. Greg at the time lived probably, 45 minutes, 30 minutes away from me. We kind of looked at the map and said, let's meet in Newton at the Newton Free Library, and let's get a study room and see what's going on. So we walked out of there after 2 hours, 3 hours, and we in a lot of ways, we thought we had figured out our website and what kind of clients we wanted to go after. And we walked out saying, hey, we should do this again. This library thing's kind of cool.
But then we decided not to go to the same library again, but to sort of mix it up. So we went to, I think, Waltham next, and then Wellesley. And as we went, we started noticing little differences. You know, this library has nicer study rooms, or this one has more parking. And we started keeping informal score. And then after maybe 15 or 20 libraries, we decided, let's try to go to all the public libraries in Massachusetts. So we created a Google map to track where we've been. We started to be a little more careful about our ratings. We started to think about that more. And by the end of 2018, we'd made it to 100 libraries.
Yeah, not too long after we started, we realized, okay, this is an office space for us, but let's get something else out of this experience. And we started, you know, obviously when we walked in, we talked to whoever was at the reference or circulation desk, asked them about the library, what we should look at, if there's anything special. And you know, those kind of conversations sort of led into other ways of thinking about how libraries are serving their communities.
Yeah, I mean, probably about halfway through that year, I mean, we recognized, you know, these are really exceptional places that people just don't really understand or appreciate or kind of acknowledge. And so that really, as Adam said, we started to think a little more I think, creatively, a little more critically about what we were seeing. But we still hadn't figured out what we were gonna do with it. You know, we were taking pictures, we were taking notes. We wanted to do something, but as 2019 started, we had gotten to know more directors, and we had been invited to a legislative breakfast and then to legislative day. And those are opportunities for members of the library community to interact with state legislators to talk about your kind of issues of interest to libraries. And we got really keyed up about it. And as we were getting ready for legislative day, we decided to launch the project. So we created a website, we started documenting. And so we launched in March of 2019.
And pretty shortly after, concurrent Instagram and Facebook. And as PR people, we sort of said to ourselves, hey, we should get the word out about this, both as support for our PR agency, but also kind of this mission to go to every library in Massachusetts. So we reached out to a couple of publications in the Boston area, got met with some reporters, got some great profiles, and it just sort of, thankfully, we were able to combine our work, our Sharp Orange work, with this new project and have a great time doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say it does double duty because you get advertising for your PR agency, but you're also pushing out libraries and showing people how wonderful libraries are.
Yeah, in some ways, we've actually used us as sort of a mini case study, showing that people who might not have had a ton of experience with a topic or a setting can, you know, do their own content and have their own thoughts and share those with the world and, you know, in some ways kind of be advocates. So we've shared library land with some of our technology clients as well.
Well, you're also a good case study for how people can use the library. I mean, you kind of created your business in the library. So,
Oh yeah. And we've actually spoken at some libraries about that very topic, how to be a good library coworker, or do co-working in libraries effectively. We meet a lot of people who are like us, one or two people starting business, sitting in their local library. But one of the things we try to encourage them to do is look beyond your community, because, here in Massachusetts, we have hundreds of absolutely amazing libraries that have, some of them have just great features and amenities and, or inspirational spaces or super knowledgeable staffs. I was meeting with a woman the other day. I said, go out and go to more libraries. You liked this one. Here's five more that you'll love.
Do you have any recommendations for libraries of how they can make their space more amenable to that?
We've seen that a lot of libraries built in the last 10 years are factoring that very thing in. We've talked to directors who say, I know that my part of my community, part of my patron base are people who want to work. So I've built study spaces. And in some libraries, study spaces that aren't just, small cramped rooms, but are expansive, beautiful spaces. I mean, the room we're in right now, it's got a conference table that seats five. It's got,
six
actually. It's got like a really nice a glass whiteboard. It's got, indirect lighting. It's got reflective coating on the glass outside so the sun doesn't beat on you in here. It is as nice a conference room as you'll find anywhere. And this library, Woburn, which is one of our favorites, they've got multiple conference rooms like this, specifically for people like Adam and I to come in and do work.
Well, and what's nice, I'm sure you've seen this at some of your libraries that have like more makerspace kind of things. If you need to film a commercial for your small business, you can go in there and use that equipment for free and make your commercial. And they'll have high-end video equipment.
I was going to bring up the Kirstein Library, which is a part of the Boston Public Library, the main branch. They have effectively a business center that does all of those things. So they have a small area, or not so small, for 3D printing. They have a green screen and the ability to produce podcasts. But then they have, if you were talking hardcore business and about running a business, in the financial services realm, they have access to Bloomberg terminals and lots of resources that, frankly, you know, you'd pay thousands of dollars, maybe, you know, a year to have access to. So, yeah, that's sort of a flagship when we think about, you know, how to form a business. And like Greg said, you know, the ability to have access to librarians who can kind of help you find your way along what it takes to start a business in your state, or some of the tax consequences. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of business librarians out there who are set up for that.
But, you know, the thing is, as much as we like doing business in libraries, that's not a very inspirational thing for a lot of people. You know, I mean, it's great. If you need a Bloomberg terminal, it's fantastic. You can get your hands on one. If you need to do genealogy, there's tools for that. But I mean, I think what's fired us up and what has kept us excited and wanting to visit more libraries are the people and the programs they're providing and the way they're thinking about their communities. And, you know, we've seen things that are just have really transformed the towns they're in. Even here in Woburn, when this library opened up on a cold March day, there were more than 1,000 people waiting outside to come in. And there was a high school marching band. It was a moment of real civic pride. And I think people don't get enough of those in some ways, especially in a way that brings people together. And, you know, this is the one civic institution that's really open and available to everybody. And that realization and seeing how that gets manifest is really what's, I think, inspired us and keeps us moving forward. And it was, you know, kind of pointing me more in the direction of a librarianship myself.
Yeah, I mean, libraries are all about community. Even, I mean, any kind of library, I mean, you guys are focusing on public libraries, but even, you know, in academic libraries and school libraries, they're serving their community, their constituency. And I think one thing I said earlier that clicked in my head, you know, I said all this stuff is free. I think it's important sometimes to make people aware that, yes, it's free to you right now, but you also paid for this with your tax dollars, so you are supporting the library. So I think it's important to have that part of it, because this belongs to you, because you paid for
right.
it.
Right.
This belongs to everybody. It's a community asset.
And, you know, we think that is important for people to know. You know, I was having dinner with friends this past weekend, and we were talking about libraries, and they were asking me, well, how much does it cost? And I kept saying, it doesn't cost anything. It's a library. And they said, well, but if I want to get a DVD, do I have to rent it? It's like,
oh,
no.
Gosh. Or a meeting room.
Yeah, or do I use a meeting room? And on the flip side of that, you know, so there's people who don't understand the concept of it's a free public library. On the flip side, Adam and I did a news quiz on Boston Public Radio here in WGBH. And one of the first questions we were asked, are you guys freeloaders?
It was an icebreaker. It was Jim Browdy, who was a ribald sense of humor, shall we say. You know, he was putting us on the spot. But we tricked that off and said, that, like, exactly, this is for everybody. And even in that library, there's so many different ways to engage with it. They have a radio studio right in the lobby. Effectively, you can't miss it as you walk into one of the wings. Across from that, there's a cafe, the Newsfeed Cafe, that people go to. At the other end of the hall, in the older library, there's a tea lounge, both for a formal tea and also for more sort of alcoholic beverages and snacks. They do weddings there. I mean, just so many different ways that, okay, they aren't all free, or you're paying for some of those, but they're raising money for the library and keeping it vibrant in the community, and just totally different ways of thinking about that concept of I'm going to check out book, or I'm going to check out a DVD, or I'm going to read the newspaper.
Yeah, well, because I mean, even if you have to pay a fee for a meeting room where you're going to film your commercial, okay, you've paid $20 for that room and you've used a $3,000 camera and you have a green screen and you have all this expensive computer equipment to edit. So I mean, there's minimal fees.
I'm sure that happens, but we haven't seen that. You know, everybody, even in this library, they said, hey, if you guys ever need our green screen, I'm sure there's some range. And we're not, as business people in libraries, we're not transactional. You know, we're not signing checks with our clients and doing inspirational talks where we're charging people. You know, I'm sure libraries have some limits on those kind of usage, or at least some different policies. But yeah, co-working spaces, entrepreneurship is alive and well, and doing well for us for sure.
Yeah, and office space is expensive. So,
well, that was the genesis.
Yeah, Greg and I worked for some, you know, big agencies, medium sized agencies, and okay, you know, nice sort of conference rooms and things like that. The ability to go into a town in Massachusetts that we've never been to and experience something brand new, it's a little different than our you know, traditional going to the office.
Well, and you guys are kind of doing the same thing that libraries are doing, that your business is your staff. You guys, you are the business. It's not the building. It's not the
right.
Anything like that. So it's
we can do it anywhere.
Yeah, just like in libraries, the staff are the important part. So.
Yeah, we choose to do it here because, you know, I think we said either earlier or in a previous conversation with you that, you know, we have found different libraries with different amenities and different services and different features that serve different purposes. I mean, there's a library near here that if I need to write, I go to the Lincoln Library. I know that they've got in their basement, their town archives are in a big walk-in vault. And next to that vault is the local history room that's super cooled. I mean, it's air conditioned, so it's comfortable all year round. It's got a dimmer, it's silent, and there's no cell signal. I can go in there and know I'm not going to be disturbed. You know, other places have just inspirational architecture that just, it's easier to think big thoughts in a beautiful space than sitting in a cube, you know?
Yeah, it's inspirational.
And cheaper than Starbucks and not as distracting as working from home. So yeah, it's been a good choice for us.
That's great. So to be a little more specific about the LibraryLand project, how many public libraries are there in Massachusetts?
That is a question for which there seems to be no answer.
we'll tell you when we finish, we'll tell you.
You know, we've seen numbers between 450 and 480. And I think it's probably 470 something. You know, there's maps of them. We grabbed a map from the Mass Board of Library Commissioners. Some of the libraries listed on that have since closed. There are new ones that have come on, but it's in the 450 to 470 range.
And how many have you guys seen so far as of February 2020?
You know, I think we're just coming up to maybe 280.
Yeah, probably 280 exactly. In Massachusetts. And on our website, librarylandproject.com, we have a map where we turn all the ones we go to from blue to orange. Yeah. So and outside of Massachusetts, we're probably approaching 40 together or individually.
Yeah, we're 279 here in Massachusetts.
How do you decide which library you're going to go to next?
You know, sometimes it's because we have something else to do in that area. Now, you know, if we have a client meeting, we'll do libraries around them. We went out, we were asked by One Berkshires, which is sort of a, how would you describe One Berkshires?
Community development organization, business development organization for the Berkshires.
Okay, for Berkshire County. And they said, will you come out and look at our libraries? And we drove out and we did 22 libraries over the course of 3 days.
Wow.
So that was a dedicated library trip. And then sometimes we'll say, geez, you know, we haven't been to this part of the state or this cluster of libraries. And we'll just, you know, go someplace we haven't been before.
Yeah, you kind of answered my next question, which was going to be, are you having libraries reaching out to you and inviting you to their libraries?
I think on social media, like, we'll hear from some libraries who follow us and say, hey, we'd love for you to come out. I mean, like Greg said earlier, we're sort of on the speaking circuit. So we were at Scituate Library. They invited us to talk about co-working in libraries, sort of entrepreneurship in libraries. What was the salon that we did? That was
just, you know, about the project.
Yeah.
We were invited to the Worcester Library Foundation to talk about what makes a great library. And we had come up with a set of criteria that we've seen that really contribute to an awesome library.
I think the most exciting invitation came from Greenfield, Mass, a sort of, post-industrial town in central Massachusetts. And they were dealing with a rather lengthy sort of referendum and renovation or new construction process. And they brought us in at a pretty exciting time. There's a happy ending to this story. The town passed overwhelmingly a referendum for a new library. But through the history of it, there have been various stages where it didn't look so good.
So we ended up, they invited us out and we met with everybody. We met with the library director and her staff. We met with the friends and the foundation. We met with the campaign who was trying to get the new library built. We met with local business leaders, people from the arts community, city councilors. We met with the mayor. We marched in a parade, and then we wrote, and we were honest with the staff. We said, we're not going to give you a great review for this library, and they said, that's okay. We realize that we have some deficiencies, and we told the story. We said this is an exciting and vibrant city. It's the largest city in the county, and it deserves an awesome library. We were happy to do that and have that story appear, on our site. And then obviously the folks in town started passing it around. We ended up the local paper did a story on us, and it was really we really felt like we were able to help contribute to that community's success in securing the new library.
Well, and that's the kind of thing that perhaps in a couple of years you could go back and do a follow-up and see what they've done to change, and maybe they've gotten a different score.
We'll be there for the grand opening.
We'll be there. Yeah, we've done ribbon cuttings. We've done groundbreakings. I mean, that's some of the most exciting days in library land for us. Like Greg mentioned, when the library we're in right now opened. I mean, it's just so exciting to walk in with the community that first time. In this building, actually, that day, one of my college roommates was one of the architects on the project, and he was there with his wife and his parents and showing a joining of the modern new wing with the old sort of late 19th century wing and how much time and energy it spent on it. Just sort of a joy. So those are the kind of things we love. I was out in Springfield about a month ago for a grand opening in a community that had had a tornado a few years before. And as part of their rebuilding and prioritizing, they said, we need a library. We need this to bring this community together as a gathering place and sort of a turning of the page almost from what they had been through. So we're out there. We'll go to Greenfield. We'll go anywhere.
Yeah, we love libraries. It's funny, when we started the project, we heard from librarians occasionally that they said things like, who are these two guys? Like, who are they to come in and write about, and rate us and write about what we do and
occasionally
review?
Occasionally negative. Occasionally
like,
not
in the
not,
beginning, yeah. It was largely, like, there was pushback. But, we explained, we're coming at this from a patron's perspective. I also would point out, when you read a movie review, it's not the movie producers who write the reviews,
right?
Or restaurant reviews. These aren't chefs writing the reviews. These are people who have exposed themselves again and again to an idea or a thing and can look at it objectively and consider it. And, I think as we've had those conversations, people say, oh, okay, we get it. And then when they meet us or they read what we write, they realize, these guys really like libraries. We love them. We want all of them can get high scores. We think they're wonderful. And when they're not, we have conversations with libraries that maybe aren't performing as well as everyone thinks they should. And, those are conversations that we're happy to have as well. And I think people have realized that we want to be helpful.
Can you talk about how your scoring system works?
Sure. We have 11 criteria, and I'll let you in on a little secret. We're planning on open sourcing this and allowing other people to contribute to the project. Adam and I we started too late to try to do all 16,000 plus public libraries in the country. So we're trying to figure out a way to make this open source. And so we've tried to make the review criteria very, very objective. So we look at things like transportation and parking, and it gets down to how long does it take from when you arrive at your terminus to get into the library? What's Wi-Fi like? What sort of study rooms or spaces are available? What's the general condition of the library? How comfortable a space is it? How noisy is it? How friendly is the staff? How engaged are they with the community? What's the collection like? We looked at things that in some ways were important to us as we thought about doing business, but we've also broadened them to realize, we're not just talking about business anymore. We're talking about how libraries interact with their communities. And, we came up with these criteria. They're all on the website. And, we found them to be a pretty useful tool. And I think, we've met librarians. What was the branch where he had his library land score on his back?
Oh, yeah. The Grove Hall Library in central part of Boston, a neighborhood of Boston. He was wearing the pass that he got into the building with or got into offices with on the back of it and had the score of the library, which he was very proud of. So I got a picture of that. I think in lots of ways, thankfully, it goes beyond the rankings too. And if you've checked out the website, you see we do lengthy reviews of libraries we really like. We do weekly This Week in Library Land recaps of every library we went to.
We'll be publishing a new one today.
And that's where we can get anecdotal about the experiences that we had in there that go well beyond just this score to 3, this score to 5, this score to 4. So the same thing with Instagram and Facebook. We're having conversations about accessibility issues and just the beauty of the library. So this platform, okay, the rankings are things that I'm sure people focus on.
The librarians do.
Yeah, but for us, it's it's all those things and the experience of being there and the stories we hear and the people we met, whether that's patrons working on, fairly obscure research that we learn about, or the librarians and their career path and ways that they're thinking about connecting with their communities.
And trustees and friends. I mean, it's opened the door to parts of our communities that we maybe hadn't seen before. I mean, we've used libraries, but I hadn't really spent much time talking to the library trustees or library foundations. And, to see what a critical role those people play. And, that's one of the things when we talk about great libraries, it's that sort of kind of community institutional support that we think makes a real difference. And that just wasn't even on our radar before this project.
Well, and you guys said before that you had obviously a positive view of libraries before, but you've kind of, fallen in love with libraries.
And we're active advocates, like Greg said, amongst our friends and colleagues and our clients too. We've brought clients to libraries where we just said, you need to get out of the office. We're doing a weekly meeting with somebody. You're too distracted by email. There's meetings all the time.
People stop in the office.
Let's go to a beautiful library and we'll figure out the strategic plan for the next 3 months.
Or just have an hour of your time with no interruptions.
Yeah.
That can be a very valuable thing.
And you also offer services to libraries. Can you talk a little bit about what you would offer to libraries?
We've met with Adam talked about the work we did with Greenfields, where I think, we helped as advocates during the fundraising and kind of the political process that town was going through. We've met with a number of libraries to consult with them on, as they're putting together plans, what kind of things are we seeing that might be interesting for them to consider? What else do we have on?
Well, we're also talking about various fundraising strategies, and grant writing is something we're taking a look at now. So many libraries sort of have their operational budget, but if they want to add a special program or a community effort, there are looking at grants. So that's something. But, you know, we're communicators by nature. So sort of how they present themselves to the world and campaigns that they're working on, whether it's the referendum issues or construction, renovations, or just having a better way to kind of communicate all the great programming that they're doing.
And, you know, and we speak. I mean, you know, we've had a good time doing that, and we're hoping to do more of it. You know, we love the opportunity to go and inspire people with what we've seen. And, you know, even when we sit down with library directors and staffs, so many of them say, we wish we could do what you're doing. We wish we could go out and have the field trips you're having. And so I think sometimes we can kind of deliver that vicariously by saying, you know, here's five awesome libraries that we've seen, and here's what makes them awesome. Or here's how libraries are dealing with this or that issue. It's fun, and I think it's helpful. I think people have been enjoying it or benefiting from it.
Is there anything that you think, or is there something that surprised you that you learned about libraries as you were going around to these things that you just like, oh, I didn't know libraries did X?
Yes. I think it was weird. I didn't know that libraries in some cases are designated shelters. And we were down on Cape Cod in East Ham, which is a new library. It is a beautiful library. It's done by one of our favorite library architects, the team at Odenzello. It's a really fantastic space. And they said that, you know, when they opened up, there were a few people in town who weren't that crazy about it. It was, you know, it wasn't the old library. That's, you know, we hear that a lot. But the town had had a weather event last in 2019, and it really shut things down. And the library, though, was the one place that had power, heat, and internet. And so they opened their doors, and people came, and people walked away realizing that the library was a real centerpiece and became, I think, a more beloved place. Later that same trip, we were at a library in Pembroke, Mass., and we were talking to the director there, and she said, we're actually an official shelter, but we're not a shelter just for people. We're also a shelter for animals. And I was like, really? Like, who would have thought that a public library was – you know, a shelter for the community, not just people, but their pets. And I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I've got a few that you know, I was delighted to see when you're talking about how a library interacts with its community. When we were in New Orleans, there was a branch library. New Orleans can be pretty spread out, and not everybody has access to transportation. So I think it was 2 days a week, the mayor's office sets up an information desk, and the mayor isn't there, but somebody from the mayor's office is there to answer questions about how the municipality is running. In Chattanooga, and I'm sure a couple other places, we saw a full-grown passport office. And we've seen tax guidance all over the place, and not just the you know, a pile of forms, but actual volunteers who come in to help people, anybody, with their tax program. I know the first library in the nation that had a social worker on staff was the San Francisco Public Library. I think that was over 10 years ago. I mean, that's pretty innovative stuff, especially
that long ago.
Yeah, especially when you're thinking about homeless populations and how they're using the library. So all sorts of things in just a service to their community.
All right. Well, Greg and Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show. If people want to follow up with you, how can they get in touch with you?
They can write to us at info@sharporange.com. They can certainly visit us at librarylandproject.com.
And the same tags on Instagram and also Facebook.
Library Land Project.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it. I think it's a great way to get the word out about libraries, and we appreciate, I think, your enthusiasm for libraries.
We do too. We love it.
It's been the best. We'll if you're still interested, we'll come back when we finish Massachusetts. How's that?
Great. Yep. You have an open invitation.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Circulating Ideas is produced by Steve Thomas in the suburbs of Atlanta. Views expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of my place of work or the place of work of guests. For past interviews, visit circulatingideas.com and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, or your podcast app of choice. And help others find the show by leaving a rating or a review. You can follow the show on Twitter at @CircIdeas or like the show's Facebook page. Music is by Pamela Klicka. Thanks for listening and keep circulating your ideas.